Amen.
Boy, what a lift. From the miry clay, from sin, damnation, from eternity in hell, to golden streets, no sorrow, no pain, forgiven, justified, redeemed, adopted, Son of God, Father in heaven, a mansion on a hilltop. Boy, what a lift. Man, we got everything. We owe everything to Jesus Christ. We sure do. Well, I'd like to start out by saying this evening, thank you. God sure is good. And God just saved some old redneck sinner in Florida. And 30-something years later, get to be with brethren, sing about how good God is. Boy, it's really a blessing. I want to thank you again. It's been a good week. We have, me and my wife both have immensely enjoyed ourselves. Enjoyed the fellowship. I really believe outside of Jesus Christ, one of the grand things of heaven is just us all bragging on Jesus up there. Just running into somebody new every day to hear a testimony, to glorify the Lord, what the grace of God did in our lives. And it's been a blessing this week to get to know some of you. And of course, I'd really like to thank Pastor Stevens and his wife. It's been many years since we had this type of fellowship together. And I said at the start of the meeting, I really appreciate the Lord just having a fellow classmate still in the fight. And that's a real joy and real blessing. Real comfort, and it's been good. I've enjoyed this fellowship, and enjoyed the spirit, and the ministry here. What's going on, and getting to know you folks, and you fed us really well. We've had really good food, and got to know many people here. And I just want to thank you. Thank you for a place to stay, My prayers, Lord, just continue to bless you. And it's not important that you remember me. It's important that we all remember Jesus Christ. And thank God for earthly friendship and kinship and companions and fellow laborers. Thank God for that. And I think that's important. I think we, in these days ahead, we ought to appreciate it more and encourage one another. But Jesus Christ is the most important thing we have. And when we get together like this, it's a blessing to know that's what it's centered on. You know, it's not a bunch of patting on the backs. You know, Brother Stevens is getting up here and just slobber all over you and slobber all over me. And I don't have to get over here and slobber all over. We can just come together and just brag on Jesus. Brag on His truth. It's really a blessing. So thank you very much for the week. Thank you for letting me come and have this opportunity to open up the Word of God and talk to you, speak to you about it. And my heart was to come here and be a blessing. That's what I wanted to do. And you've been a blessing to me. I just want you to know that. Really have been an encouragement to me and my wife. And thank you. Take your Bible and go to 2 Samuel chapter 15. 2 Samuel chapter 15. And while you're at it, get First Chronicles. That's one of them Arkansas books. You may not have that up here. First Chronicles chapter 27. I'll get past this in a moment, Lord willing. It's just good. God is so good, brethren. First Chronicles chapter 27 and 2 Samuel 15. Second Samuel 15, and Let's begin reading in verse 32. 2 Samuel 15, verse 32. And it came to pass that when David was come to the top of the mount where he worshipped God, behold, Hushai the Archite came to meet him with his coat rent and earth upon his head. And unto whom David said, If thou passest on with me, then thou shalt be a burden unto me. But thou return to the city and say unto Absalom, I will be thy servant, O king, as I have been thy father's servant hitherto, so will I now also be thy servant. Then mayest thou for me defeat the counsel of Ahithophel. And hast thou not there with thee Zadok and Abithar the priest? Therefore it shall be that what things soever thou shalt hear out of the king's house, thou shalt tell it to Zadok and to Abithar the priest. Behold, they have there with them their two sons, Ahimaaz, Zadok's son, and Jonathan, Abithar's son. And by them ye shall send unto me everything that ye can hear. Verse 37. So Hushai, David's friend, came into the city, and Absalom came into Jerusalem. Now keep your hand there, if you would. Let's look over to 1 Chronicles chapter 27, and let's see another verse here, another comment here that will go with the message tonight. 1 Chronicles chapter 27 and verse 33. And Ahithophel was the king's counselor, and Hushai the Archite was the king's companion. I want to preach to you tonight on a message on an uncommon friend. An uncommon friend. But let's go to the throne of grace again and ask the Lord once again for His help and guidance and the Holy Spirit of God to work. Father, Lord, I do thank You. God, I thank You for the chance and opportunity that my wife have had. Lord, You know our heart, man. It's just it, our cup runneth over. The fellowship, the encouragement, just seeing brethren who love to talk about You and doing something for You. And God, coming here faithfully night after night and today, and we've had fellowship, broken bread with one another. We've stood here in the foyer and in the sanctuary and talked. And Lord, all this is because of You, God. Lord, if it wasn't for Your grace, for what You've done, the majority of us wouldn't even know each other here. The majority of us would have nothing in common here. But because, Lord, of You having mercy on us, and that grace, that amazing grace that God will experience one day through the ages for eternity, the riches of Your grace. God, we're not worthy of that. Lord, we just want You to get honored. And Lord, as we close out this meeting tonight, God, I just want to put some attention on You, God. My heart's desire is I've been blessed, and I believe blessings are from You, every perfect gift's from You. God, I want to be a blessing to these folks, and I want to leave this meeting with God, that You're being magnified. So please, Holy Spirit of God, guide my lips tonight and help me minister to these folks, Lord. I know as a local church, God, there's burdens, there's concerns. I've heard them, we've prayed, there's all kind of things going. Once this meeting's over, Lord, it's back. If You don't come tonight, it's back to Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Back to the routine. And Lord, we know that's part of it. But Lord, tonight, magnify Yourself. I pray in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Now in 2 Samuel here, David. David is in a situation. And the situation is this. He's having to flee from his kingdom, from his throne, from his palace, from his city, to run from a rebellious son who has sought to do him harm. I mean, real harm. He's out to kill and destroy David and to take his kingdom here. And there's been a conspiracy that's gone on. And David flees. And then David is out there in the wilderness and he's displaced. And all of a sudden, a familiar face shows up. David is worshiping God. In the midst of all this, he hasn't lost his reverence, his love, his honor for God. He's worshiping God. And a fellow by the name of Hushai shows up. And when he shows up, Hushai, though not real known to us, I mean, honestly, I mean, here in Chronicles is what you know of him. It's not like there's a whole chapter tell you about his family or some other thing. I mean, he was David's friend. But you don't know a whole lot. You know when you find out about Hushai, David's friend, when he's in need. You didn't hear about him while he was back there on the throne. Didn't hear about him before. But now, David's in a situation here. Let me ask you something tonight. Are you thankful for friends? Let me ask you something else. Are you a friend? And then, let me ask you the most important thing. We often sing a song, "Oh, what a friend we have in Jesus." Boy, Jesus Christ is an uncommon friend. So uncommon. Are you His friend? Are you His friend? You know, at times of adversity, you really sometimes really find out who your friends are. You really find out who your friends are. You know, I realize there's some friends not worth keeping. Amon had a friend. He wasn't worth having around. But I'm telling you, there's one friend that you want to have till the end. And I want to tell you, such a good friend that you ought to be his best friend. And that's Jesus Christ. Amen. You know, most people want a friend without being a friend. You know, there's people in this world tonight that are lonely. And one of the reasons they're lonely is because they never tried to be a friend. I know people that way. I've known people who lived their life very selfishly, didn't put themselves out for other people, didn't try to be a friend, didn't try to be a help, and tonight they're in a nursing home, and they're lonely. They're hurting. And they're wondering, why doesn't anybody see me? And some of those folks are because they never cared about anybody else. Now, you never want to get in that situation with Jesus Christ. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 18, verse 24, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly. And there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. I can say this, and I can say it very confident to you, that Jesus Christ has been a friend to me closer than any earthly brother. Matter of fact, I've had spiritual brothers a lot closer to me than my own flesh and blood brother because of Jesus Christ. But I'm here to tell you, Jesus Christ, what a friend. What a friend. I want to notice some things here about Hushai. First of all, I want you to notice in verse 32, he was a compassionate friend. A compassionate friend. And it came to pass that when David was come to the top of the mount where he worshipped God, behold, Hushai the Archite came to meet him with his coat rent and earth upon his head. He was really concerned. When Hushai shows up, he's in mourning. He's broken. He's upset of David's situation. Listen, when Hushai shows up, he's not looking for a chance or an opportunity to take advantage of David. What Hushai is doing is not politically motivated. It's not something He's doing in order to, hey, if I do this, I know down the road this will happen or this will happen. Hushai is doing this because he's really, really concerned. You know, the Bible says in Proverbs 19:6, many will entreat the favor of the prince, and every man is a friend to him that giveth gifts. Now, Hushai was really, honestly concerned. Is that the type of friend you are to Jesus Christ? Haven't you found times in your life and times of despair and times of sorrow and times that you've gone to Jesus Christ and got on your knees and you prayed and poured your heart out and told Him about some concern? And you didn't find a rejectful spirit from Him? You didn't find Him say, get up off your knees, I don't want to hear from you. Didn't you find some concern there? Didn't your spirit bear witness after you got done praying and talking and fellowshipping that, hey, it's okay. It's okay. In 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 16, Paul had a friend in Onesiphorus. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 16, says, the Lord give mercy unto the house of Onesiphorus, for he oft refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chain. Listen, Paul had a friend in Onesiphorus who refreshed him, who was trying to be a comfort to him, who was compassionate toward him, who refreshed him. Are we that to our Savior, to our Lord? Is that the kind of friend that you are to Him? Do you ever go to Him and let Him hear words? Listen, I know He's a God that wants to hear your cares and concern. I know He cares for you. But have you ever went to Him and just bragged on Him and told Him how much you love Him and how you don't like this world that's against Him and you'd like to see Him get what's rightfully? Have you ever shown any compassion toward Him? I realize most of the time we go there, we're so unworthy. What do we really have to offer? Well, we can offer Him a friendship. Abraham was God's friend. Jesus Christ, over and over again, and we find in the life of Jesus Christ, had compassion. Jesus, when He came out, saw much people and was moved with compassion toward them because there was as sheep not having a shepherd, and He began to teach them many things. Jesus Christ was compassionate. And you and I, if we're honest, hasn't He been compassionate to us? Hadn't He been compassionate to us? Hadn't there been times that honestly the Lord could have said to you, hey, you're just reaping what you sow? Couldn't He have left you at the prayer closet? Couldn't you just have left that prayer closet and with the Spirit telling you, why are you praying to me, buddy? You're just getting what you deserve. Hushai could have come to David now and said, David, you know what? No, I know a lot of people may not know, but I know about your sin. And you're getting what you deserve, David. This is a judgment of God. No. Hushai was compassionate. He was really concerned. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 8, brethren, it says, finally, be you all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren. Be pitiful. Be courteous. That's instructions we have for one another as brethren. Trying to do right and being like-minded. We're to have love for one another. We're to have compassion for one another. Paul, again in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 34, says, for ye had compassion of me and my bonds, and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that ye have in heaven a better and enduring substance. Paul said, listen, I realize some of you, you know what you did? You sacrificed, you spoiled, that you could take care of me, you had compassion on my needs. Does Jesus Christ find that in you tonight? Can He see in your life, the joyfully spoiling of your goods? for His cause. Too often, compassion is based on what's in it for me. That's this world. This world tries to emulate the charity that a saved person can have through the working of the Holy Spirit. They try to emulate it, you know, with all their charities and things. But it's all a self-righteous thing. And what's in it for me? Look at what I'm doing. Often it's just an excuse to throw something in God's face. See, God's supposed to be, I can be good too. You know, I care for the poodles. I care for the cats. I care for the rats. I care for the birds. I care for the trees. I care for the whales. God, you're not doing a very good job taking care of things down here. Yeah, that's the attitude. But listen, brethren. Listen, you know what? Is Jesus Christ in this room tonight, has He got some friends that are compassionate? Toward Him. Toward Him. See, if you're compassionate toward Him, then that'll rub off and I know you'll be compassionate to one another. Are you compassionate toward Him? And then notice something else about Hushai, this very uncommon friend. Notice in verse 33 of 2 Samuel. Verse 33, verse 15. 2 Samuel 15, verse 33. Now here's Hushai. He's rent his coat. He's come out there in the wilderness. He's fled from his home, left behind things, and he's come out there to be with David. Now notice David's response in verse 33. Unto whom David said, if thou passest on with me, then thou shalt be a burden unto me. Now I want you to see a loyal friend. Hushai is not only a compassionate friend, he is a loyal friend. He is devoted. Number one, he's willing to bear the hardships. He's left, he's come out there, he's with David, he's willing to go through what David's going through, he's willing to bear that burden. He's showing that to David. In Hebrews chapter 13, verse 13, we are to go without the camp, bearing His reproach. Now, notice how Hushai here, he's not offended by David's remark. David says, listen, if you stay here, you're going to be a burden to me. I mean, what kind of comment is that from a friend? But see, Hushai here ain't looking at his feelings. He's not concerned here. He looks beyond. He says, David's hurting. David's hurting. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. Even if this hurt Hushai at all, he's not going to show it because he realized, hey, listen, he's hurting more than I'm hurting. He's got more to lose than I had to lose. He was a loyal friend. You know, David had another friend in his life. His name was Nathan. Nathan the prophet. Nathan the prophet one time had to go stand before David. Nathan loved David. And he had to tell David, thou art the man. Boy. David didn't say, well, hey, bind him, put him in chains, and throw him in the dungeon. Well, we won't have that in this place. I mean, who are you to point your finger at the king? No, that was a friend. That was a friend. Peter had a friend in Jesus Christ. One time Jesus Christ was talking about getting ready to go and things, and Peter got all upset, and the Lord rebuked Satan looking at Peter. That's how I know Peter wasn't a Baptist, because he didn't try to go start another church, try to split the disciples and go start another church at that time. No, you know what he did? He took it. It hurt. The Corinthian church, you know what they had in Paul? A friend. Paul sits down and writes the letter to the Corinthian church, and there's some things in there. Boy, he's He's shucking the corn. He's plowing. He tells men, you need to get right. How do you want me to come? But you know, he did it as a friend. He did those things as a friend. Listen, Jesus Christ, He'll sometimes put some things on us and tell us the truth and reveal some things to us. If you're not careful, you won't take it from a friend. You'll think that he's your enemy. Why would God do this? Why is God saying, listen, He's trying to be a help to you. He's trying to be a help to you. Listen, won't you be loyal to Him in spite of what He says? Won't you look beyond sometimes your own feelings? Won't you look beyond your own concerns and look at the bigger picture? Jesus Christ is more important than any of us. Pilate chose his friend. You're in the trial of Jesus Christ. He didn't choose Jesus Christ. Even though he was an innocent man, even though he was a man he found no fault with, he decided to make friends with his enemy, renew old acquaintances. Job had some friends. And in Job chapter 6, you know what he says about them friends? He says, buddy, You're just like a deceiving creek. You're just like a creek bed. Let me find it here for you real quick to show you all the analogy here. In Job chapter, what did I say, 16? Yeah, 6, no, 6. Job chapter 6, beginning in verse 14, he says, to him that is afflicted, pity should be showed from his friend. But he forsaketh the fear of the Almighty. My brethren have dealt deceitfully as a brook. As the stream of brooks they pass away, which are blackish by reason of the ice. You know that brook ice gets out there and covers it? You ought to know about that being up here. That thing there, you can't get no fresh water. You can't get to it. Wherein the snow is hid, the snow covers that brook. And you don't even see it, that it's there because it's got ice on it. What time they wax warm, they vanish. When it's hot, they are consumed out of their places. You're like that brook. When it's cold and when I can't get to you, I can't get to that water. And then when it's hot and that warm outside, then you just dry up. And all I find is go to that brook and I just find dryness. That's the kind of friends that Job had. Jesus Christ ought to find in His people who He's done so much for. Listen, we need that fountain of life. We need that water. Thank God for that living water that's in us through the Holy Spirit that causes rejoicing, that causes peace, that causes joy. But boy, shouldn't we? Shouldn't we be refreshing to the Lord? Shouldn't He down here, when He looks among Minnesota and Minneapolis, St. Paul area, looks across the land, shouldn't it be refreshing to see some of those are reaching and offering a glass of water to Jesus Christ and saying, hey, I love you. I want to offer something to you. I want to be different than what you've been finding. I want to be loyal. I want to be able to be loyal to you. Bear under the hardships. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 2:13, if we believe not, yet He abideth faithful, He cannot deny Himself. Jesus Christ is loyal. He's loyal to the end, brethren. If you're saved, you're saved. You're His. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1:8, He says, whoso also confirm you in the end that ye may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. In John chapter 13, verse 1, it says, He loved them unto the end. Boy, Jesus Christ is loyal. He's a loyal friend. He deserves loyal friends. He deserves loyal friends. You ever had to break fellowship with a friend? You ever have a friend that turned its back on your best friend, Jesus Christ, and decided to to go the wrong way, and you know that to keep friends with them would mean breaking fellowship and displeasure with Jesus Christ, so you have to break fellowship. That's not easy. That's not easy. But sometimes very much needed. How loyal to your friend. How devoted. Jonathan was a friend of David. Jonathan willing to take his armor off and put it on David and said, David, I know you're the next king. It did not bother Jonathan that he'd have to play second fiddle. That he wasn't going to be the main thing. I mean, son, Allah, I mean, he's the king's son. I mean, he could have had an attitude. David, what are you doing? I'm going to be the next king. I'm going to be the one. Who are you in here to infringe on the benefits? No, they were close. Jonathan loved David. And I want you to know something else about this friendship that Hushai had for David. Look at verse 34. But if thou return to the city and say unto Absalom, I will be thy servant, O king, as I have been thy father's servant hitherto, so will I now also be thy servant, then mayest thou for me defeat the counsel of Ahithophel. I want you to notice that Hushai was a sacrificial friend. He was a sacrificial friend. You know, as I said a few moments ago, a friend is never known until he's needed. And David right now, he needs a friend. He needs a real friend. What's back there around the throne room? What's back there around the palace and David's home is the enemy. And David needs someone whom he can trust, who's going to be loyal to go back and defeat. Now notice who he's asking. He's not asking a mighty man. He's not asking a man to take your sword. He's not asking the mighty men that he have who would no doubt, hey, let's fight. Let's go in there and slaughter. Let's go in there and kill. Let's go in there and wipe them out. David, we can do that. I'm sure if David had turned to his mighty men and said, hey guys, go get them. Sick them, boys. But no. It wasn't a warrior of that type that David was needing. But he was going to need someone who's going to have to sacrifice a whole lot. He was going to have to endanger himself. Hushai was going to have to go back there. I mean, what's to say that Absalom, just at the sight of Hushai, would slaughter him? What was to say that Hushai would even have a chance to be able to do this? Do you realize that right before we're introduced to Hushai in verse 32, in verse 31, David is praying. It says, and one told David, saying, Ahithophel is among the conspirators with Absalom. And David said, O Lord, I pray Thee, turn the counsel of Ahithophel into foolishness. He prays. He knows who Ahithophel is. That was his counselor. That was someone wise. That was somebody who could give good advice. And now he is going to be talking to Absalom. And you know what he does? Up pops Hushai, his friend. And he's asking his friend to go to defeat the counsel of Ahithophel. That's a different type of fight, brethren. It's a different type of fight. David's prayed. We're involved in a spiritual warfare tonight, folks. We're involved in a spiritual fight that requires a sacrifice. In Romans 12, it's called a living sacrifice. We're to defeat the counsel of the enemy by proclaiming the truth like I explained to you this morning in Acts chapter 17. It is our job by honoring our King, our Savior, our friend Jesus Christ to go out there and give ourselves, face the ridicule, to face rejection, suffer defeat, for the sake of Jesus Christ. You know, the story of Esther. There's a Jew by the name of Mordecai. You know who Mordecai was? He was the Jew's friend. But you don't get that at first. When Naaman comes out there and everybody's bowing, here's Mordecai. And I'm sure there's people that stood around, perhaps even Jews, his own countrymen, his own kinmen, saying, why aren't you getting down? Don't you know you're just stirring things up? You're just getting him mad. Why you got to stand there? See, Mordecai knew the Scripture. He knew he wasn't supposed to bow to him. He knew. He knew he was honoring God more, and what God said, more than man. And men around probably thought, hey, Mordecai, you are crazy. And sure enough, things begin to roll. Things got to going there, and it looked like things were going to get where he was going to be able to get his way, to be able to wipe out the Jews. But God steps in. And after all, it turns out that Mordecai was the Jew's friend. Listen, this world may not think you their friend. This world may not look at you as trying to be a help. Your families and relatives that are lost. You honor the Lord and do what's right. But being a friend of Jesus Christ is a lot more important. Be a sacrificial friend. Charity, love, is shown by David's friend. He's asked to do this. And no rebuttal, no nothing. He doesn't even ask anything in return favor. Okay, David, if I do this now, remember now, if I do this, I want you to know when I get back, this is what I want. I want this, 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 and this. There's nothing like that. There's no bargain. David makes a request, and Hushai goes and does it. Military, when a man gives his life, above and beyond the call of duty. We really can't say that as Christians because our Savior done for us what we can never do. Never do. I read a story one time about PFC Milton L. Oliver III, October 22nd, 1965. Vietnam, PFC Milton and his fellow soldiers was out on patrol, and they got ambushed by the NVA, the North Vietnamese. They got ambushed and they were pinned down, and a grenade come flying in amongst his squad there, and immediately he jumped on the grenade and took the blast, saving his squad's life and losing his own. His parents were awarded the Medal of Honor, was given to them on his behalf. And it's the president said on he chose to die so others might live by his unselfishness, saving from serious injury or death for his four buddies. Listen, we're to be a living sacrifice for our Savior. We ought to be able to take some things. Why? That the cause of Christ might go on. The Lord might find a real friend that'll do above and beyond because we love His friendship. I read another story, or saw a story about a Navy SEAL that also happened in Vietnam. I can't remember the dates. I can't really remember the men's names so much right here, at least in front of me. But these men, there was four of them. Two of them were Americans, Navy SEALs. The other two were South Vietnamese. And they went in behind enemy lines to do some reconning, and things turned bad, like sometimes they do. Went bad. And the next thing they know, they were surrounded by a large force and began taking fire. And the guy that was in charge, Navy, said, "Let's pull out. Let's get out of here. We got to go." And as they began to leave, they got back to the shore where they were going to get on a boat and get out of there, being wounded, shot up. And they noticed that the other Navy SEAL wasn't present. And the guy told the two Vietnamese, "Go ahead, get things ready here. You stay here. I'm going back. I ain't leaving my buddy here." So he went back, had to go through the enemy and find where his buddy was who was wounded and carry him, literally carry him out. He thought he was dead. He didn't even think he was alive. Carried him back out and didn't find until he got back in the boat that he was actually still breathing and alive. Nixon awarded that Navy SEAL, went back to get his buddy the Medal of Honor. Nixon asked him after he awarded it and shook his hand after and says, "If there's anything your country can do for you, would you let me know?" And he said, "There is one thing." He said, his buddy named him, the guy he went back for. He said, "I want him to get the Medal of Honor. Because he stayed back there so we could escape." And he said, "I'll see what I can do." And the next president, I believe it was Ford, awarded that buddy the Medal of Honor. See, that was a friend looking out for a friend, and neither one of them looked at each other as heroes. They were just doing what friends do, buddies do. Sacrificing, sacrificial. Remember Jesus, remember David is a rejected king at this time. He's a rejected king. There was nothing that was going to say that he was going to get back on the throne. I mean, this was a large conspiracy. This was a large movement going on. And as I said before, some could have looked at the handwriting on the wall and said, "This is of God. You're done. Your kingship. You're done, David." Hey, listen, I'm going to hang out with Absalom. I see opportunity. But the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 17, verse 17, "A friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity." And Hushai didn't have that kind of spirit. He had a sacrificial friendship. It is said a friend is someone who likes you even though he doesn't need you anymore. Boy, we can never say that about Jesus Christ, can we? Always need Him. We always need Him. Ask you tonight, how's your friendship with Jesus? I know He's your friend. I know He's the best friend you got. He's the best friend we got. But how about the other end? How's your friendship? How's your friendship? Then I want you to notice something else in verse 34. "But if thou return to the city and say unto Absalom, I will be thy servant, O king, as I have been thy father's servant hitherto, so will I now also be thy servant, that thou mayest thou for me defeat the counsel of Ahithophel." I'd also like to say about that verse, he's a heroic friend. I mean, that's going to take some courage to walk in there and be able to perform this task. It's going to take some real courage. It's going to take some real heroism to be able to go in there and defeat. And that's exactly what he does. When you read chapter 17 of 2 Samuel, when you read that, 2 Samuel chapter 17, that's exactly what happens. We won't read it all this evening. But it starts out, "Moreover, Ahithophel said unto Absalom, let me now choose out 12,000. Ahithophel gives his advice, just as David knew he would. And Ahithophel gives Absalom some good advice. He really does. But verse 5 says, "Then Absalom called now Hushai the Archite also, and let us hear likewise what he saith." And when Hushai comes in, he tells him his plan and tells him, you know, he basically goes against it. This is not what you ought to do. And through what he does, he provides safe passage for David and his men to get somewhere at a distance for safety and prepare. Verse 23, it says, when the Ahithophel saw that his counsel was not followed, he saddled his ass, rose, and got him home to his house, to his city, and put his household in order, hanged himself, and died, and was buried in the sepulcher of his father. You know how Ahithophel ended up? Suicide. Ahithophel was an opportunist. He was a counselor of David and said, hey, here's me an opportunity. Let us not be that way. And you shouldn't be that way. You shouldn't be an opportunist. Don't let the flesh and the devil trick you. Just be an opportunist. When I get in the blessings of God, I'll do this. And when I get in on what the world has for me, I'll get in on this. Hey, be a heroic friend. Stand for something. Stand for something. Stand for the cause of Jesus Christ in the days ahead. Make safe passage for the truth the best you can. Can the Lord count on you as His friend to defend His passion and His honor? Can He see in you some heroic deeds? Jesus Christ, He's our hero. He defeated our enemy. Death, sin, hell. Listen, He's provided safe passage. Tonight, we have sung about it. We've sung about it today. The fact that we are going to heaven because of Him. We're assured of that. That's the kind of friend He is. You ought to be that kind of friend. That'd be heroic enough to stand for the truth. And then I'd like you to notice verse 37. Go back to 2 Samuel 17 there, 15. So Hushai, David's friend, came into the city. He went. He was a faithful friend. He did as requested. He did as requested. Hushai did what was requested. Like I said before, it wasn't motivated by, hey, listen, I do this, then this is what happens. Hushai was just David's friend. It didn't say he had a great position. It didn't say he had a place of... All it says is Hushai is David's friend. Another place it says Hushai is his companion. He enjoyed fellowshipping with David. He just enjoyed being David's friend. Because he was faithful, David didn't have to send anybody behind him to check on him. You notice that? David didn't say, hey, after he left, say, hey, so, come over here. Yeah. I need you to follow that bird. And if he doesn't do what I think he's going to do, take him out. David doesn't do that at all. David knows what kind of friend he has, and he knows he can trust Hushai. Hushai was not a backstabber. He wasn't going to turn on David like others had. It's kind of odd to me in some ways that in 2 Samuel 16, verse 17, the Bible says, and Absalom said to Hushai, is this thy kindness to thy friend? Why wouldest thou not with thy friend? You know, that's the thing that strikes me is the fact that, hey, Absalom should have known that Hushai was David's friend, right? Why would Absalom trust anything Hushai says? But you know what Absalom's problem was? He wasn't loyal to anybody. He was an opportunist. He was always looking out for E number one. So being that way, he thought, Hushai is just another one like me. And he thought, well, Hushai, he is pretty, you know, let's listen to what he has to say. His sin deceived him. Jesus Christ one day went into a city to be crucified without the city for you and I. Can you be counted as a friend, a faithful friend in these days where it's not going to be popular to be a real friend to Jesus? Can you be looked on from the throne room as, hey, there's my loyal subject. There's my faithful subject. I don't think you'll ever regret being a best friend of Jesus Christ. There was an old man one time, he was up in years in the nursing home, dying, not many days left. And a preacher came to visit the nursing home, and a lady there said, listen, I know you're here visiting people. I wonder if you would mind going down to such and such room and visiting Mr. So-and-so. Said, he's here, he ain't got much time left, and no one ever visits him. And the preacher said, okay, I'll do that. And he made some visits, and finally he wandered down that room. And he walked in that room and saw that elderly fellow, blind and definitely in ill shape. And the preacher just started out with these words, how sweet the name of Jesus sounds in the believer's ear. Just as an intro. And the man raised himself up and said, yes, Jesus is my Savior. He's my friend. You know, for whatever reason, that man was alone. He wasn't alone. There may come a time in this life when a lot of earthly friends will depart from you. But I'm telling you, there's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. There is a friend that's born for adversity, and that is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, the Lord, He cares for Israel. We sung not too long ago about rejoice and Israel. In Isaiah chapter 46, verse 6, we find these words in the Scriptures. Isaiah 46, 4. The Lord here talking about Israel. He says in verse 3, Isaiah 46, 3, and it says, hearken unto me, O house of Jacob, all the remnant of the house of Israel, which are born by me from the belly, which are carried from the womb. And even to your old age, I am He. And even to hoar hairs will I carry you. I have made, and I will bear, even I will carry, and will deliver you. You know your Bible, you know the history of Israel. You know the future of Israel. And you ought to know the end of Israel. They've got a friend in Jesus Christ. Israel, the father, they always say, Father Abraham. Well, then he was called a friend of God. And God made a covenant with him. And God made a covenant with David. Those covenants are going to be fulfilled. Israel has a friend in Jesus Christ. Even though they've rejected Him now, He will see that covenant is fulfilled. I think that God will never send a gift so precious as a friend. A friend who always understands and fills each needs as it demands. Whose loyalty will stand the test when skies are bright or overcast. Who sees the faults that merit blame but keeps on loving just the same. Who does far more than creeds could do to make us good, to make us true. Earth's gifts and sweet contentment lend, but only God can give a friend, Jesus Christ. You have no better friend than Jesus Christ. But let me tell you something. Friendship is a responsibility, not just an opportunity. As you have a friend in Jesus Christ, may he find friends. You know, the Lord asked one time, He says, when the Son of Man cometh, will He find faith on the earth? When the Son of Man cometh, will He find some friends in Minneapolis, St. Paul, Coon Rapids area? Will He find some friends that'll be loyal, compassionate, sacrificial, heroic? Will He find that? My prayer for you is that He will. You pray for me. I want to be His friend. Always. I can never be as good a friend as He is. I want to be a friend. And I'll pray for you. I promise I'll pray for you. It's a church that you be the friend that He deserves. Father, Lord, I pray.